Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the last chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 66. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dangled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Puel, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Now I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh to come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy own holy word, and that the heavens are thy throne, and the earth is thy footstool. Thou, O Lord, art very great. Thou dost dwell in that light that no man is able to approach unto. And those that have received thy heavenly messengers here upon the earth have even from that lower glory hid their eyes. And yet thou, as the Son of Man, did say, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, that light may also be given to shine in the heart of each and every one of us, while we are living in the midst of the darkness of sin and of ignorance here below. But thou knowest also what we are, for we are conceived and born in sin. And thou sayest, he that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. And so we also are haters of thy light, the light that is in thy holy word and that shineth therefrom. Oh, that thou may give to us each and every one new hearts, that we may be given to, that we may be given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, and that we may be given also to tremble at thy word, as we have heard it in these moments out of thy word. For thou sayest, to this man will I look, even unto him that is poor, and who trembleth at my word. But we do not tremble at thy word in and of ourselves by nature, but we allow it to come to our ears, hardly permit it to penetrate even into our minds for a few moments. And then we go on in our life. O Lord, could it please thee to remember us together in thy house in this afternoon hour? Oh, do send forth thy Holy Spirit, and do arrest us upon our journey as we are traveling to meet thee, young and old together. We do not know who are thine, who are those who are chosen from that never begun eternity. And we also do not know those who have been rejected by thee. It is belonging all to thy secret counsel that we have heard of in this morning hour. And it is in thy sovereignty that thou dost hide these things from us. But it is also in thy great goodness and in thy mercy that thou givest us to know the will of thy command. When thou dost say, turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die? And when thou dost also promise that those that will seek thee early day shall find thee, oh, one day then it shall be revealed who are thine. Oh, could it please thee to remember young and old together? We will never come unto thee, and we will never seek after thee as haters of the light and lovers of the darkness. But, oh, when thou wilt make it shine for a moment, O Lord, in our hearts, and then we shall be spoiled for this world, and then we shall ever love thy light. Oh, that thou may show to us what our sin and iniquity is, that we may be ever haters thereof from this moment forward, and that we may be given to love thee above all, and our neighbor as ourself. Bind the need of our souls upon us. Do look upon us in all the needs and cares known unto thee, especially those that suffer, and thou knowest where that they are. We lay before thee once again her that lies in the hospital. Lord, that thou would visit her with thy salvation. Oh, that she may be given also to know herself, and that she may be given to come to know thee, as thou revealest thyself in thy only and dearly beloved Son. Oh, do make him precious unto her, and wilt thou heal also her body if it could please thee, and bless the means, care for all that have special needs known unto thee. Wilt thou look upon all those who have addictions and who have crosses which we know not of? For there are also secret crosses which are borne so silently in this world. Give also inner chambers and freedom to lay the cares before thee, and the experience in the life that thou art yet alive, and that thou art the ruler over this whole universe, that men's hearts may be drawn to seek thee for the need of our souls. Look thou upon us in this hour. Lord, help us. Give us strength to do the labors of our hands. And wilt thou give thy word in our mouth as thou hast promised? Wilt thou give opened hearts, even as thou didst unto a Lydia of old, that we may attend unto the things that are spoken, and that thou wouldst bind thy word upon us. Leave us not to go our own way. Oh, it is yet thy Sabbath day, a day wherein we are called to set all the things of the time aside. And we cannot do it, O Lord, except thou wilt give it in our life and in our hearts. Give it yet in this hour, that we may be given a blessed attention by thee and upon thee, and upon thy blessed word, and that it may be for profit to those who tremble at thy word. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. And what follows, 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210, and the last collection today is for our school. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 66, and thereof the 9th verse. Isaiah 66, verse 9, "Shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God?" So far the words of our text. The opening of the womb assured to those who are brought to the birth. First, the parabolic meaning. Second, the historical significance. And third, the spiritual application. The opening of the womb assured to those who are brought to the birth. First, the parabolic meaning. Second, the historical significance. And third, the spiritual application. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? It is, congregation, a parable. The Lord, He speaks once again in His Word, as so often, by way of a picture with a meaning. And here He presents His people with the picture of a mother who is it brought to the point of birth. Shall I bring to the birth? Thus the Lord says, I bring to the birth. That is my prerogative. I give conception. I cause the child to be formed in the womb. I give maturation. I give growth. And that all belongs unto me. The woman of our day, she says, the body that is mine, I may do with it as I please. And so she takes her own seed into her own wicked hands, even to slay her own offspring. We see it fulfilled in our days as never before. The words of Christ that He has spoken concerning the last time, that love that shall wax cold, call it an embryo, call it a child. It is a most magnificent work of the Lord Himself. It belongs to Him. I bring to the birth. Therefore, young people, let never the thoughts, the wicked thoughts that are so accepted in our world, have even a moment's place within your heart. For indeed it is an awful shame when we are falling into sin. But it is a greater thing to take even in our own hands a little life and to slay it, even our own offspring. And the Lord, He says in His Word, that surely He will require the blood of our lives at our hands. At every man's hand, He says, I will require it. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? The Lord here speaks about a very dangerous situation. A situation dangerous both for mother and for child. Because the Lord speaks here about a child which is brought to the birth, but that child is not able to be brought forth. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Thus he speaks about a mother who is become so weak and that she is not able to bring forth her child. And we know that that is a very dangerous situation. Solomon, he says, say not that the former days are better than these, because he says, thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. We often say that the former days are better than these days, and certainly in a moral way, then we understand what we mean. But there are also in many ways that these days, they are much better than the former days, because in the former days, the situation in this our text, that was an extremely dangerous situation, a situation which did result most often in the death of both mother and child. Hezekiah used this same example when he saw the armies of Rabshakeh and Sennacherib surrounding Jerusalem. And then he sent to Isaiah and he said, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke. He says, the children, they are brought to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Thus, he says, we are in a very dire situation. We are in a situation where we are likely to perish. And we are in a situation where we are not able to help ourselves. And that is a place, congregation, of great fear. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? There is there in that situation no help from the side of a man. That is a circumstance where in this mother, she is not able to go back, but she is also not able to go forward. And thus she is in a place where death and destruction, they are come upon her. And what does the Lord say in the words of our text? He says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth? And shall I shut the womb? Thus, whose work was it to bring to the birth, to make, to conceive, to form the child? That is my own work, he says. And whose work is it? And now to cause to bring forth, that is also my work. Shall I then do only half a work? O mother, you have rejoiced in your conception. You have looked forward to that time of the birth. You were full of anticipation, of expectation. And shall I put this hope and the expectation that I have wrought in the heart of this mother to shame? Thus the Lord promises, the Lord assures that he is going to finish that work that he himself has begun, Zechariah. He says, the hands of Zerubbabel, they have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And now there is more, because it also has a context. And in the context, we actually read about an easy birth. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Thus he speaks about a birth that echoes very, very easy. He speaks about a birth in which there is no travail, in which there is no labor, in which there is no pain. Before that labor came, before that pain came, and then she was delivered already of a man-child. Who hath heard of such a thing? That is an uncommon thing. That is an unheard-of thing. The curse that says different. But the Lord, he says, this shall be an exception. You say, what does Isaiah speak of? That we want to consider in our second thought, the historical significance. To whom is Isaiah speaking? To whom is the Lord speaking? And by the mouth of Isaiah, he is speaking to the God-fearing remnant of Judah. He had been speaking to all of Judah. But they would not listen. And when they would not listen, then he turns away. He turns away from all of Judah. And he speaks to his people. He speaks to his own remnant. There's coming a time that the Lord is not going to warn us anymore. There is coming a time when we have heard so often the warnings of the Lord, and when we have not listened to him, when we have turned a deaf ear, and that the Lord is also going to turn away from us. And then he will not turn away altogether. No, but then he will turn unto his own people. He will turn unto his own remnant to speak to them, yet a word of comfort. Isaiah, what is the time in which he lived? Well, he lived, we read, he prophesied in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz and Hezekiah. They were days in which the kingdom of Assyria that was continually increasing in its strength. And as it increased in strength, then Ahaz, we can read that he feared Ephraim. He feared the children of Israel that was their own brethren. He feared also Syria. And as he feared them, then he has gone to Assyria and he has asked Assyria if they will not come to their help. And Assyria does come to their help. It was unbelief that was living in his heart, the heart of Ahaz, because the Lord had made a promise to Judah. The Lord had said to his people that the king, the Messiah, they would come from Judah. A lawgiver shall not depart from between his feet until Shiloh come. But Ahaz would not believe it. And Isaiah, he says to him, if thou wilt not believe, thou shalt not be established. But he would not believe. He could not believe it. And when he would not believe it, then he turned unto Assyria. And he asked the Assyrians to come and help. And the Assyrians did come. And they have taken captive Israel. And they did not only want to take captive Israel, they wanted to go further. Then they wanted also to take Jerusalem. They wanted to take Judah. They wanted to take all of the other kingdoms that were surrounding them. And so now, they are fearing Assyria. And in their fear of Assyria, we heard last time that they are now going to Egypt for help. And so those who would not believe, they would not be established. Zion had said, "The Lord has forgotten me." And what does the Lord say? That is not true. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? What did Moses say? Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses suffered you, Christ said, to put away your wives, to write them a bill of divorcement. And now the Lord says to his people, he says, "Where is that bill of your mother's divorcement whom I have put away? Show it to me. Have I written a bill of divorcement? Then you must have it in your hand, and you can bring it back to me and show to me that I have written it and that I have divorced you. Where is that bill?" No, he says, you cannot produce such a bill because it is not true. I have not forsaken you. I have not divorced you. But he says, "Behold, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your transgressions, they have hid his face from you." And thus the Lord says, it is not my fault, it is your own fault. And yet the Lord, he could not completely forsake Judah. Why not? Because of his word. Because of his covenant. Because of his promise. Because that promise that is not dependent upon that people. It is not dependent upon their work, upon their obedience, upon their faithfulness. No, that is the certainty of that covenant of the Lord. That justification that we have heard of last time, that is not dependent upon the sanctification of that people. Because of the word of the Lord, then no matter what that people they have done, the Lord, he could not forsake his own covenant. It is true that the Lord would allow them as a nation to depart so far that they would no longer be called his own people. That is, as a political nation, they have left him. And the Lord, he would also allow that people to go in their own way. But that does not mean that he has forsaken his own promise. Isaiah, he speaks, he prophesies of the Messiah that was to come. He speaks about the promise, the time that that promise would be fulfilled. And he says there is going to be a great change. And then the local bonds, the national bonds, they are going to be broken indeed. But other bonds are going to be made. And they are bonds unto the other nations of the world. So that other nations are going to be brought in. What does he say? "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" You think that I can only dwell in this temple. You think that I can only dwell in this nation. But he says, the whole earth, that is my footstool. And soon it is going to be that my people, they are not found here in Jerusalem, but my people, they are going to be found all over the whole world. "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word, whatever that he may found. It will not be in my people, because they are children of Abraham. They will not be my people, because they are the inhabitants of Jerusalem proper. But they will be my people, where they are found from the east to the west, over all the nations of the earth, who are trembling at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. What does he say? He says, your religion, that is a stench in my holy nostrils. He that killeth an ox, what is that? What is that, boys and girls, to kill an ox? So that is to kill an animal. That's not like today. It speaks about something else. What does he speak of? He speaks about sacrificing to kill an ox. You say, that is a good thing. That was their religion, to kill an ox. But he says, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. What is that? That is a transgression against his law. He that sacrificeth a lamb, that was their religion. But the Lord says, he that sacrificeth a lamb is as if he had cut off a dog's neck. He that doeth a transgression. And so in four parallel passages, then Isaiah is laying out how that the Lord condemns that people for their religion. Their religion that has become a stench to him. It is worse than doing nothing. Their religion is to him as a transgression of the law, one thing after the other. He says it is formal, it is dead, it is spiritless. And therefore he says, I will judge you. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. When I called, you did not answer, and when you call, I will not answer. And then he turns away. Then he turns away from his warnings. Then his warnings are finished. Turns away from the wicked. And he turns toward the remnant of the Lord. And then we must remember that Isaiah is a prophet. And prophecy that has its multiple fulfillments, prophecy that is looking into the future, and he begins to speak to the remnant of the Lord that is not only among them, but that remnant of the Lord that is going to exist also in the future. Thus, when he speaks, he is not treating everyone in the same way. Why not? Well, because all of those people are not the same. Thus, he cannot paint all of them with one brush, we do say. He says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Thus, there were those who had no desire to look to Assyria. There were those who had no desire to look unto Egypt. There were those who trembled at the word of the Lord that was spoken by the prophet of the Lord. Those who tremble At my word, do we tremble also, congregation, at the word of the Lord? Because they trembled at this word, we can read here they suffered persecution. From whom? From the world? No, not from the world. They suffered persecution, we read here, from their brethren. Their brethren that were within the church, they hated them. We read here, they cast them out. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Thus the brethren, they mocked. Their own brethren within the church, because they said we ought to hear the word of the Lord. We ought to tremble at the word of the Lord. And they mocked them, but he says that they are going to be ashamed, but the Lord, he is going to appear for you. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Thus he begins to speak about the judgments that are going to come upon that nation. It's going to be a noise. It is going to be a noise of tumult. It will be a noise of war. It will be a noise in the city. It will be a noise within the temple, within the church of God. And then he's speaking to that remnant. And he is speaking a word of comfort to that remnant. He says, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. When a child is born, then there is an increase. Then there is an increase in the people. Thus the prophet, he says that there is going to be an increase in the church. The old order of things, that is now going to pass away, and there is going to be a new order, because the seed of the Gentiles that is going to be brought into that church. And thus he says to that remnant, then you must not despair because of the apostasy of the children of Judah according to the flesh. Because he says there is a time coming that Zion is going to grow. And that growth that is going to be extremely sudden. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Thus, he said, it is not going to be as a natural, a normal birth. Because this is going to be a nation that is going to be born at one time, all together. Normally, that nation takes time. Then it must be built generation after generation. That will take great pains. But he says this is going to be different. This is going to happen very, very quickly and as it were with a great ease. Think about Pentecost. Pentecost, when one sermon was preached and 3,000 souls were born. A nation born at once. And the years following, how that word that has spread so quickly, and that church of Christ that has grown among the nations of the world. This is a prophecy of what is coming. But of course, there were still many years, several hundred years yet, before that this prophecy, this sudden birth, was going to take place. And that remnant that dwelt among Judah now, and that remnant that was going to be still dwelling among Judah for all those hundreds of years that were yet to come. And that people, they have heard the promise of the Lord, but when they looked about them, then everything seemed like it was nothing but death and destruction. The greatest part of the people, they did not believe, they did not tremble at the word of the Lord. The Lord has pronounced His judgments upon the nation. And so would that be, there will be a people who are laying in captivity for 70 years. And even after the deliverance from that captivity, there will be several hundred years before that this prophecy is being fulfilled. And during that time, that remnant that will mourn, and it will seem to them as if the promise of the Lord that is not being fulfilled, they will look about them and they will see nothing but death. They will see nothing but destruction all around them. They will say, how can that be that that promise can be fulfilled? And when shall that promise be fulfilled? Because that time, that is so long. And now the Lord comforts that people. He lays this word of our text unto that remnant. He says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Shall I prepare a people for the coming of the gospel, and shall that people never receive it? Oh, the Lord, He is so good to His people, to give them a word to uphold them in that time that people are waiting for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled. Thus the Lord, He says to Habakkuk, that he must write, that vision is yet for an appointed time. But He says, in the end it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Therefore He says, though it tarry, wait for it will surely come and not tarry. The Lord, He says, I am unchangeable, and that word that I have spoken, that shall certainly, without fail, be fulfilled. And so there is also that same word unto His remnant today. But we are going to sing first. 238. Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious, He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, God's own city, who can all thy glory tell? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 238. shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth, and shut the womb, saith thy God? Shall I bring to the birth? Who does that? Say the Lord does that. He is working. He works mysteriously. He works imperceptibly from the moment of conception unto the moment of birth and, of course, beyond. 9 months with child that is different for every mother. The one does experience an increased sense of well-being, and another just the opposite. And yet there is something common about their way, because there is, especially in the beginning, there is a joy, there is an expectation, there is a looking forward. But now as time goes on, the longer that time goes on, the greater that the burden becomes for that mother with a child growing in her womb. Even until a time that it actually cannot keep going in that way. And now it is not different with that soul wherein new life is being conceived, because the Lord, He is working supernaturally. The Lord, He is working mysteriously, imperceptibly, from the very conception of that life, even unto the bringing forth. And then the circumstances, they are different somewhat with each and every one. And yet there is something that is so common about their way. What did David say? He says that with joy, he went with the multitude to the house of the Lord. Do you know what that is? Because that is common about that way. That joy with the institutions of the Lord. In the beginning, in the planting, in the conception of that new life. And what is the expectation? When David would go up to the house of the Lord, then it was, he said, that he may see the beauty of the Lord, that he may inquire in his temple. That was the expectation. And so it is a joy and expectation in the beginning of that new life. But now as time goes on, the longer that time goes on, then there comes a burden that people, they did not know so much in the beginning of the way, but a burden that is increasing and increasing. Shall I bring to the birth? The Lord is going to bring to the birth those whom He has made to conceive that new life. What does Paul say to the Galatians? He says, my little children, in whom I travail, or for whom I travail in birth, until, he says, Christ be formed in you. Thus, to conceive that new life, that is a different thing than for Christ to be formed in us. The Lord, He must bring to this birth. He must bring to this birth in the revelations of himself, usually very slowly, very imperceptibly. The Lord, he is increasing the burdens, ever increasing that realization of the helplessness from their own side, the weakness within that warfare concerning the fulfillment of that law of God. To bring to the birth, what is that? That is to bring to a place where only the Lord is able to deliver me. Otherwise, it will be destruction. That is to bring to a place where a man cannot go back, but that he also is not able to go forward. When Pliable fell with Bunyan's Christian into that slough of despond, we read that Pliable, with a few quick struggles, he got out on the side that was closest to his own house. And Christian, he was despondent too, but he could not go that way. Go back? What is back? Back is nothing but death. Back is a city of destruction. Can you go back? Can you go back to the world? Can you go back to the service of sin? That is a vital distinction. It is the distinction between the true work of the Spirit and the work that is coming forth from a man who is plied, who is convinced by another man. There is no going back. In that true conception of that new life, no matter what the burdens they are becoming and how great those burdens are becoming in the life of that people. 9 months, a mother cannot go back. She can only go forward. And therefore she does go forward because there is no other way. But there comes a time that that mother also is not able to go forward. More and more than she is experiencing that something has to happen because it cannot keep going like this in my life. That new spiritual life that cannot go back, what does it do? It goes forward. It goes forward in what? It goes forward in the only way it knows. And what is now the only way it knows, that is a broken covenant. But the more it goes forward, the heavier that those burdens are becoming, until it cannot bear those burdens anymore. Christian, he came to Sinai. He did not dare take one more step. It was the curse. Then he said, I was afraid that that mountain that was going to fall on my head. that people, they are not able to deliver themselves. All the creature's strength that is taken away. They have to experience the weakness. Oh, the weakness of that flesh. Are there also those in our midst? They are in a great strait. What is behind them? That is death. To go back is to go into the world. To go back is to go serve the flesh. To go back is a life of sin. That is the way I have come out of. That is a way that I cannot return unto anymore. But now to go forward, I cannot do it either. Because I am weak to fulfill that law. It is impossible. The fears that are living in the heart of a people when they are brought to the birth because of that despair of self, of my strength, of my wisdom, of my righteousness, but I don't know of another strength. I don't know of another wisdom. I don't know of another righteousness. David, he says, my soul that is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? It is an encouragement to that struggling, that fearing remnant. That remnant that fears an utter destruction. And that the promises of the Lord, they will never be fulfilled. But the Lord says, it cannot be. It shall not be. If I bring to the birth, then I will also bring through the birth. To come to the birth, that can be a long time. For a man to be brought to that place of impossibility. So often they think they are in that place of impossibility. They say, oh Lord, it is time now for thee to work. But when does the Lord deliver his people? What did David say? He says, the Lord, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no children. Know the rest. Him that hath no helper. No helper. As soon as a man has no helper anymore, then the Lord, he is no longer far away. Because he does not make his people to stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. The Spirit of the Lord has a purpose. To withhold the revelations of the Lord. When there is competition for the honor of Christ. But as soon as all that other hope that is completely cut off, then there is no more purpose of the Spirit to withhold the revelations of the Lord from his own people. And therefore, the prophet, through the prophet, the Lord, He says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Shall not be. It shall not be. And not only so, people of the Lord. The Lord, he appeared to Jacob at Bethel. That man could not go back. And to go forward, he did not know how to do that either. He had received the blessings of the Lord. He had received the promise of the Lord. And now he is leaving his land. The land that was promised unto him. And it was there that the Lord appeared to him. But the Lord was not finished working in such a way with Jacob. Think about Peniel. Because the Lord, he said to him, return unto thy country and to thy kindred. And he cannot go back. But how can he go forward? Because Esau, he is coming unto him with 400 men. And there he sends everything he has over the Jabbok. But he cannot go over. And there he wrestles with the Lord. In the night. And there he receives the assurance of the Lord. And there we can read that the life of Jacob that was preserved. Thus, it is not only in the first blessings of the revelation of Christ, but it is also in the further blessings of the application of Christ that they are received in a way of cutting off. The Lord, he is delivering his church in the way of their impossibility. That is for the first time, but also by renewal. Death before and death behind. It is the desire of God's people that they may know something of that blessed justification also in the court of their own conscience. But how much fear is there not to come into that court? Because in that court, we have to be condemned. But it shall not be. What does the Lord say? Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Oh, the issue that is not doubtful, but that is standing on the unchangeable word of God himself. And so that is also going to be at the death of the saints, which we read in God's word, is precious in the sight of the Lord. How many fears? What shall that be to have to go through that valley of that shadow of death? There is no going back, because there is no discharge in that war. But how can a man go forward? Because death, that remains the last enemy. But what does the Lord say to his people? Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb. He says, you shall not perish there. According to all of your fears. No, he says, that shall be for you just the opposite. Oh, what shall that be? When the promise of the Lord that is fulfilled, and when that people, they shall be delivered from the womb of the darkness of this world, and of sin, and of the flesh, and they shall be brought to the birth. They shall be brought through the birth into that eternal light to be enjoyed to life everlasting. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give thy people a word that they may go with through all the need, in all the fears, in all the perplexities. For thou doest not a half work, but wilt thou give them a little courage that they may go forward, that thou would lead them in it. When they have no strength, when they have no wisdom, when they have no righteousness, O show thyself. Wilt thou bring through the birth? Cause thou to bring forth. Shut up not the womb. Wilt thou give them to see the light of the new day? Bring us safely to our places. Give us meditation upon thy word of truth. We may acknowledge thee for a little strength in this afternoon. Help us further if it could please thee. Look upon each one in all the labors of our hands. In the week to come, watch over all those that travel, those that are afflicted, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73:2-3 and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 73. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.